Okay. All right, so I'm really excited that you guys get to be here today because we're going to have a little panel discussion with some wonderful people, which is something we do from time to time when there's something we really want to focus on or let you know a little bit more about. And today is Back to School Sunday, so we're lifting up parents and teachers and students who are going back to school this week. There's going to be a chance for you guys to write some little encouraging notes to them as well. And we're also thinking about parents who homeschool and college professors, like Joseph, who's now officially a college professor, back at the slide, and nannies and tutors and those of you who work for educational after-school nonprofits, and especially all the people in education who aren't here today because this is their last chance to get out of town, and we're glad that they did. By focusing on public school educators, we're not at all discounting all the other wonderful things that you guys do as parents and students and whatever. But we do want to kind of highlight the way that God is bringing his kingdom to earth through New York City public schools, especially through his children who he has strategically planted in positions of authority and in classrooms all throughout this great city. And so we have asked three of our everyday church educators to share a little bit about how they've seen God working in their life. So the first thing I want to do is I'm just going to pass the mic down the line, and could you guys introduce yourself and say what you do, what's your role, whether you teach or whatever you do. Sound good? Okay.
Hi, I'm Lizzie, because this is Liz, so I'll be Lizzie from here on out. I've been working for the public school system for 14 years now as a science teacher. And this year, God has put me in a position of teaching first grade, so I'm really excited because God's going to use me there. And I'll pass it on to Liz.
I'm Liz. I'm a principal of a middle school in the Bronx, in the northeast corner of the Bronx. We have about 400 students. We opened about 5 years ago under the Bloomberg, like, new small schools movement. And I'm primarily in charge of culture, school culture, and discipline. You'll need that background.
Yeah. I'm Samantha. I'm a third grade teacher in the Bronx. I teach in an ICT classroom, which means there's two teachers in the classroom at all times, and there's a mixture of special education students and general education students. And I was blessed to be able to stay in the same grade with the same co-teacher this year.
And my name is Chris, and I am a former New York City Public School teacher. I taught middle school math to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. I might chime in with some stories, as I will to this first question, because I got a really good one. So the first question I want to ask, just because we're, you know, it's a hard job, it's a heavy job, and we're going to ask how people can pray for us, but it's also a job full of a lot of really delightful moments and hilarious kids and that sort of thing. So I just wanted to ask, could you share a funny moment that happened in the classroom, or tell us about a funny student that you've interacted with in an appropriate way. Change the names to protect the guilty, that sort of thing. So, okay. All
right. One comes to mind quickly, although I have hundreds. Last year I was teaching science, and it was Earth Day, and of course I asked the kids to raise their hand, whoever knew what Earth Day was, and this one kid was like, "I got this one, pick me." So of course I pick him, and he's like, "Earth Day is Jesus's birthday." And then we all pause, and I'm like, "That's a good one, but," and he's like, "Just kidding," which was hysterical.
That's fantastic. Okay, from now on, that's what that's gonna mean to me. Earth Day, Jesus's birthday, that's good. Okay, thanks. And Liz, you got one too.
Yeah. I brought up a text message for you. So the teachers, when something is going on, they text me. And this is from the very last day of school, Friday, June 26th, at 9:45 a.m. I got a text from the 8th grade math teacher that says, "Can you please call Moses' mom? He's running around in his boxers." And I thought it was an autocorrect. I really did. I thought it was an autocorrect. I was like, there's no way there's a 14-year-old kid in his underwear. And I went downstairs, and he was just in his underwear. The protocol is I bring him to my office, and then he has a chance to write down his side of why. So he put his clothes, I said, you know, you got to put your clothes on and then write down what happened. And he wrote down, "Sorry, Miss Liebens. I was hot, And I have new Nike boxers that no one else would see.
I filled out many of those incident reports, and it always felt slightly ridiculous, but that's like brings it to a whole nother level. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Okay, I'm gonna quickly share one. This little kid named Suleiman. This is long enough ago. I'm gonna share his name. I think that's I want to say he was from Nigeria, and I think that's the pronunciation of Solomon in his home language. So Suleiman. This kid, oh my gosh, he was so funny. He was one of those teeny little kids. He was so funny, constantly saying things that would force me to like have to bite the inside of my cheek not to break my teacher character, because I was kind of like a stern teacher. And a little background you need to know to understand this moment. He, at one point, saw my wife and was smitten by her. He loved her. He was constantly asking about my wife, Lindsay. And so the end of my second year teaching, when I was getting ready to transition from doing that to being a church planner, I had a wedding coming up that I was going to officiate, and I was taking a personal day. I was going to miss a day of school, and I was explaining to my class that I was going to be missing to officiate a wedding, and they didn't know what officiate meant, so I'm trying to explain what that meant. But when I said I was leaving to go to a wedding, Suleiman assumed that I was marrying somebody else, and he instantly jumped up out of his seat, and he was like, "Can I have your wife?" And the timing like was so perfect, I lost it. I lost it. They had never seen me laugh like that. I was like crying. I couldn't get a hold of myself for like 3 minutes. Because there's like layers to why that's funny, right? Like there's like a social commentary there. Like it was like, yeah, by all means, I will transfer her to you, Suleiman, while I go take it. There's so many, but it was like my all-time, that moment is like a treasure to me. Like whenever God brings it back to mind, it like brightens my day for a good hour or whatever. So a kid, unbelievable. Okay, so next question, I'm gonna start with you, Samantha, on this one. Could you guys just share a moment when you felt like you saw God at work in education? It could be through you or something that you saw, and we'll start with you, Samantha.
So I actually have a lot of examples of this, because some of you heard about my classroom last year, some people didn't, but God was in this classroom. So one thing that immediately came to mind is there was one day where I was on the rug with about half of the class, and I was teaching third grade, so they're eight, and I asked them to draw a line. And in my head, when I asked them to draw a line, like, just draw a line. But they would like draw it, erase it. And I was like, no, it does not need to be perfect. I just need you to draw a line. And one of my students was like, Miss Morton, it can't be perfect because only Jesus is perfect. And I was like, oh. And another kid was like, Jesus wasn't perfect. And it became this huge debate on, is Jesus perfect? Is Jesus not perfect? Is Jesus the same person as God? And it spiraled, and like we didn't do this math lesson because it became a debate within 20 kids about like, does God exist? Is he here? Who created our school? Did people create this school? Because, you know, they're the ones that like designed it and built it, and they're the ones that decided everything, but God is the one that gave us these gifts. So if God hadn't like created all the materials and hadn't decided like this person would be great at architecture and this person would be great at construction and this person would know how a school was laid out, that like it couldn't have existed in the first place. And this was a pretty unexpected conversation just by asking them to draw a line. And stuff like this happened all the time where both my co-teacher and I believe in Jesus, so although we never brought these things up, anytime anything like this happened, we were always like, go for it, and would help like moderate and kind of like lead the discussion in the ways that we could, because it's amazing to see even what eight-year-olds are thinking about who God is and like what they're struggling with.
Sure. So I have a female student who, she's going to be a sophomore this coming year, but when she came to our school in sixth grade, she was one of the meanest people I've ever met. you kind of forgot that she was 11 because she was so mean to everyone. We worked with her, and I remember the first time that she cursed out a teacher, and we had like a grade team meeting, so it was all the teachers and pretty much the whole school was sitting down with her, and she said like, okay, well now you can just suspend me. And we were like, we're not going to suspend you because this is the first time that you've done it, and we just want to know why you're so angry. And one of the teachers piped up and said, like, well, who do you live with? Because we're trying to call someone to come. And it turns out that she lived in a group home. And she proceeded to tell us that her mom didn't want her, that her aunts didn't want her, that her grandparents didn't want her, and that basically she had gone through all of her known relatives and no one wanted her. So she was living in state custody at a group home. From then on, the teachers just sort of adopted her. I've like the love that came from the staff towards this girl was incredible over 3 years. She had a family. She was at our school way early in the morning. She was at our school at night. Teachers would, you know, anytime she needed supplies, the teachers would provide it for her. So she had this family for 3 years. And she had people praying for her, and she's at boarding school on a full scholarship in Connecticut. And she's on a full scholarship both for academics and for basketball. She's an incredibly talented young lady. So if we would have suspended her, I think about that moment a lot of like, she definitely could have been suspended. And it probably would have been warranted, but it just, like, God can do amazing things through math teachers and science teachers and social studies teachers and ELA. Like, it's not just about the curriculum, it's about what they're doing for these kids every day. So.
Thank you.
Really brief. 1 year, I think, back to when I was teaching second grade and I was really struggling, and I had this one parent who was a single mom and really struggling, and I found that God has really helped me help parents at that moment where we have conversations that are organic, and I tell them, look, the only way I can do this is through Christ's help. And I'm able to tell them, even a public school system, while we have conferences, you know, it's not me. This is happening because God is using me, and I kind of offer that to them. And in the beginning, whatever happened with this woman, she was very oppositional, and she didn't want to hear that her son had issues. And towards the end of the year, she wound up getting him help. And he's doing really well now. He should be in eighth grade now. And I attribute that to just praying about the situation and just leading her to what God has done for me. And just, you know, sharing that with them, being real and just telling them, I'm only human, you can have what I have.
Thanks a lot, Liz. Yeah. There are like hundreds and thousands of stories like that where a teacher provides some kind of intervention that really changes the course of a student's life, sometimes in a way that would seem like a small way to us now, but sometimes in like really huge ways, like full ride scholarships to boarding schools and basketball scholarship and who knows what she'll be doing. There really is a lot of room for God's Spirit to work through educators, and it's something we want to be praying for and celebrating the way that he's bringing his kingdom to earth through these classrooms. You guys are a part of a church who one of our core values is to invest in the next generation. That informs everything we do, how we spend our money and how we spend our time and the sorts of things we get involved in. What does it mean to you that that's one of the things that's most important to us as a church, that that's one of our values, to invest in the next generation? What does that mean to you guys? Who wants to chime in on that?
I have to say I feel supported. Oftentimes, you see your class list and you know the parents, and a lot of parents are not a parent. They're just not in the homes really helping them, and tablets and phones are really what are raising kids these days. And I know that you guys support me, and I know that even if someone's not at home that cares, Everyday Christian Church supports teachers and is investing in a future, and that means a lot because I feel like I'm not alone. And the kids are not alone, you know?
That's great. Does anyone else have something to say?
One of the things that I really value is that again, at the church, I feel really supported because even in the work environment, in a place where like we are also investing in these students, I'm frequently told things because I will have beliefs about my students that are different from what other people even within the school believe. So I've been like crying a lot, so I'll probably like cry a lot. But one of my students, I was asking someone who was supposed to be mentoring me what I could do to help him because I believed like we just hadn't found the right thing yet. And she said, don't bother with it because maybe someday he'll find like some sort of trade, maybe if he's lucky that he could do, but really just sit him at the computer. That's what we've been doing. And fortunately I had a principal that didn't believe the same thing as this person and sent me to a PD, and he actually grew 2 whole grade levels in reading in 3 months, which is like unheard of. But and another student, I was told that there's no point in like talking to this student or teaching this student anything because don't I know that he's going to be the one that's shot when he's 15, so why would I waste my time with that? So coming to this church and having people who don't believe the same thing, that believe my students have purpose, is a really big thing for me.
Okay. When I left teaching in public school to help start this church, part of the dream was, and part of what was driving me was, the city needed more than one Christian teacher. The city needed a church that would support educators in many, many different places. And so this is like a dream come true for me to get to be a part of a church like this. And aren't you guys glad that these teachers are where they are, that those students have had someone? And don't you feel glad to be a part of a church that is helping in some small way to make that possible through our prayers and our support and making them feel like they're not alone? I feel really grateful to be a part of a church like that. We're going to wrap this up, and we're gonna take some time to pray for teachers and parents and students. We're going to take several minutes to do that, but first I want to just take a couple of minutes, and I'll lead us in prayer to pray for these three. And to prepare us for that, I just want to ask you guys, how can we pray for you? Like, as you're where you are right now, getting ready to go into this next year, what's on your mind? How could we? You've got a chance to ask however many dozens of people are in this room to pray for you and people listening online. How could we pray for you right now? And I'll just pass the mic down this way.
That I would have a kind heart and an open mind. So when I can't teach phonics or math because a child has another issue, that I would be open to that and led by the Spirit to lead by example and just say a quick prayer before dealing with the child and every morning. That's good.
Just listening to your story, I think if you could pray for really healthy, positive adult communities around all of us, it really makes who you hang out with at school really makes a difference. And how the people that you're hanging out with see kids makes a difference. So like if you're with a group of people that see kids the way that your mentor maybe saw that one student, right? It's really easy to go home feeling really discouraged, like there's nothing you can do, just give up. But if you're around a group of people like this church, right, who believe that all of these kids have a reason and a purpose and a place in God's kingdom, and it's our responsibility to help them, it makes your job a lot easier. So please pray for really healthy adult communities that believe that for kids.
My prayer, and this is the reason why I'm crying, and also because, or the reason I didn't share a funny story was, I mean, hilarious things happen all the time, but that's not the place that I'm at right now. So my prayer is that the parents of my students don't look down on me because I'm young and because I'm not a parent, because the reason that I say this is because last year I had a student in my class who we noticed like lots of things just seemed wrong health-wise. Like this student was always falling asleep, always complaining about headaches, like constantly. and was throwing up like about 3 times a week. And even though I'm not a parent, I know that when a person is throwing up 3 times a week, that's not an okay thing. And we told this parent repeatedly that, like, please, can you take your child to the doctor? We know that something isn't right, but I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you, like, what actually isn't right. And this parent kept telling us that we were just bad teachers. That's why her student wasn't doing well in school. And it took until the last day of school for her to take her child to the doctor, and it ended up that she has a brain tumor. And they were supposed to operate, and I just found out yesterday that because it went on so long and this parent didn't listen to what we were asking them to do, she's now blind, and they can't operate because it went too long. So, sorry. I just pray that the parents of my students would know how much I love them and how much I care about them and how much I want the best for them, even though I am young.
When Samantha shared that story with me right before the service, she started talking about, you know, pray that they wouldn't look down on me because I'm young. And immediately I was like, yeah, that's right, because I felt that all the time. And it was coming from this pride place, like, take me seriously even though I'm young. But that's not at all where she was coming from. She wants to be taken seriously because this kid's life has been irrevocably damaged because this parent wasn't taking her seriously. So I was just so impressed with her, like, love and others-centeredness when my inclination was to be so self-focused. But I also want to point out, though, that, like, it's not an exaggeration to say that the role that teachers can play in kids' lives can be life or death. Like, this could actually be a life or death kind of a situation. And so I want to take a couple of minutes to pray for them and pray with that kind of a force. Like, we're about to come before a holy and powerful God with potentially life or death situations and ask for him to intervene. So with that in your mind, would you bow your head, bow your heart, and I'll just lead us in prayer for a couple of minutes for these three. I want to pray first, Father, for this student that Samantha told us about, and we pray for a miracle. We pray that somehow it is not too late, that somehow you would reverse the growth of this tumor, that you would do this as a mercy, not because we're so good, but because you're so good. And we know that if you're willing, you can snap your fingers and do much more difficult things than this. And so we pray that you would be willing. We pray that you would, in your grace, reverse the course of this tumor and bring about a complete healing in her life. Whatever your will is for her, Father, we pray that somehow it would lead to your glory, and somehow it would lead to this young woman knowing you, and to her mother knowing you, and to Samantha and others' faith being strengthened, and that somehow you would work it out for the good, the way that you are always working things out for the good of those who love you. And I just pray for Samantha's heart, Father. What a beating a teacher's heart takes. When you fall in love with so many kids that are facing so many different things, and it's so easy to become calloused. That defense mechanism, I understand why some teachers become so jaded and why they would just plop a kid down in front of the computer and write them off, because to keep opening up your heart and taking those blows requires an extraordinary level of resilience. I think a level of resilience that only the Holy Spirit can bring. And so I pray, Father, one of the fruits of your Spirit's presence is long-suffering. I pray that you would make Samantha and Liz and Lizzie long-suffering, that they'd be willing to pay the price to love these students well. I really appreciate Liz's request, and I immediately resonated with how important healthy communities of adults are. I pray that you would strengthen that aspect of our church, that we would become a place that views children correctly, that views other people correctly, that says out loud the things that you feel about humans and their infinite potential and infinite worth to you. And I pray that you would create those communities at their schools in some small way, use all three of these women to network together like-minded adults and to preserve that perspective. And I pray that you would protect them against assaults against that perspective, especially assaults from the evil one, that the little flaming darts that will come and try to discourage them or make them cynical or make them want to give up or feel like they can't make a difference. And lastly, I pray for what Lizzie asked for, that she would be quick to stop and pray and very attentive to your Holy Spirit. I pray that for all three of them and for all of the 30, 40,000 teachers in our city, that you would speak to them, that you would guide them. Especially those who believe in you and follow you in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would open up their ears and help them to follow you one step at a time. And especially for these three, Lord, I pray that you would teach them how to listen to you and prompt them to stop and pray for wisdom and pray for strength and pray for the right words. And Father, graciously respond to their prayers. Speak to them, guide them, comfort them, counsel them, give them the strength. We pray with great confidence because we pray in the name of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks, guys. Okay, so we have a little thing, a little gift, which we would love to give to you. So if you can pass one of these down. And I have extras of these. So if you are here and you are an educator of some kind. That one didn't work out. Except for that one. There you go. Thanks. Will you come see me after the service? So like if you're a professor, for example, not naming any names. If you work in an educational after school, certainly if you're a teacher or an administrator, and especially if I haven't met you yet, would you come up to me after the service? I've got something that we would like to give you just to say thanks in advance for the hard work that you're going to do this year. We're going to take a few minutes to pray next, but could we all just give a big round of applause to these three to say thank you for sharing with us? Okay. Thanks, guys. Okay, so last thing, I have a prayer that we're all going to pray together. It's a prayer for teachers. So I'm going to ask you guys all to stand up, and the prayer is going to appear on the screen, and we're going to pray it out loud together. And actually, this is a good time for the band to come back up, because after we pray this prayer, we're going to worship the Lord through a couple of more songs, and then we'll have some announcements, and we'll be done. Okay, so let's pray this prayer together. This is a prayer for teachers. And just follow along with me out loud. Father, thank you for the teachers you used to help form each of us. Thank you for the teachers among us. Please give them strength, wisdom, and courage. Give them supernatural patience and a healthy sense of humor. Protect our teachers physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Give them grace. May they sense your patience and forgiveness at all times. Please graciously work through our teachers to bring your kingdom to earth, one classroom at a time, one student at a time. Holy Spirit, prompt us to pray for them throughout this year and show us how we can help. May this be their best school year yet. We pray in the name of the great teacher, our teacher, Jesus Christ. Amen.